God is good.
Amen.
It's a statement we often hear, a statement we often make, that God is good. But there are times when we wonder. And our behavior will show in what I believe. My teaching, that is my doctrine about trials, is seen in the way that I act, practicing what I preach. We've seen here in James chapter 1, where I'd like you to turn, that our doctrine, or your doctrine, let's just personalize it, your doctrine is seen in the proving of trials, the privilege and the prize. Verse 12. Your doctrine is seen in the provoking of trials / temptation. The perception and the perpetrator we saw in verses 13 to 16. Your doctrine is also seen, as we're going to see today, in the providing in trials. We often wrongly attribute evil to God and goodness to man, as if man can somehow be better than God. But the statement, man is good, you would never hear in a Bible preaching church. But the statement, God is good, you would. So what we see in James chapter 1 and verse 17 is what I'm going to be looking at this afternoon for just a short time, because we're just going to look at the first part of verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That's it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. These verses are in contrast to the verses we've seen prior to this. They refute the claim that God is the cause of that which is evil or bad. Because God is good. And not only do we need to realize that God does not lead us to do evil, we need to know that any act of giving which is good and anything that we have that is good comes from God. Because God alone is good. So we're looking at the providing. That my doctrine is also seen in the providing in trials. And when we speak of providing, the focus is obviously on the provider. Who does the providing? And verses 17 and 18 give us the characteristics of the provider. Keep trials in mind, since that is the context. Three things we're going to look at today and in the future Sunday afternoons in these verses, verses 17 and 18, these characteristics of God. Today we're going to look at the fact that He is benevolent. Then we're going to see that He is immutable. You'll see that in the last part of verse 17, with whom is no variableness. He is immutable. Then we're going to see that He is sovereign in verse 18. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. So He is benevolent. He is unchanging or immutable. God is sovereign. But let's look today at the first part of verse 17. Every good gift and every gift complete, as I'm putting it, is from above. Everything you have was given to you. Would you agree with that statement? Everything that you have was given to you as a gift. John 3:27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." When you think about this in depth, you come to the realization, I'm a nothing. Everything I have is given to me, but I did that. That was given to you. The breath that you had to accomplish that task was given to you of God. Everything you have has been given you. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another person? What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" That's a poignant question. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Are you good looking? Well, where did you get it? You may have put it on this morning. Ladies, hopefully not the men. But you may have added to it. But when it comes right down to it, everything you have came from God. So let's look at this. What about God's gifts? And three things this afternoon. Number one, God's gifts are good. God's gifts are good. Every good gift, that's where I'm getting this. Every good gift. Believe it or not, that actually describes how God gives. When it says every good gift, because this word gift, and you'll notice that the word gift is used twice in that very first part of the sentence, every good gift and every perfect gift. Two different words, but very closely related. This first word gift is different than the second word gift. This first one has to do with the act of giving, so it has to do with how something is given. Think about it. Would you rather have a good gift or a perfect gift? Now think about that. Would you rather have a good gift or a perfect gift? That's not what this is saying. It's not comparing good with perfect. You ever gone to the, you know, if you're going to paint a room, and this is my dilemma every time I'm going to paint something. I go to the store and I see these brushes. One brush says good. The next one says better, and the last one says best. I hate that. Because I want what's best, don't you? But then I look at the prices. A good one will do. But then you get that good one, and the wall tells everybody you chose only what was good, not what was best. Okay? I want the best. But that's not what's being talked about here. Every good gift has to do with the act of giving. The value of a gift, see if you agree with this. The value of a gift can be diminished or increased in the way it's given. Yeah, got you this Christmas gift. And they walk away. Oh, well, okay, thank you. Or, hey, I got you something. This is for Christmas. Try that with a child. Hey, kid, here you go. Or, hey, come here, let me show you something. What mommy and daddy got. And all of a sudden, the way the gift is given is increased. And what this is talking about is the way that God gives. I would rather not accept an unwilling gift. If somebody's giving to me begrudgingly, I would rather you just don't give it to me. This is the way the Bible puts it in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves what kind of a giver? The way it's given. That's what God loves. He loves the cheerful giver. How God gives is loving and gracious. Every good gift describes how God gives. And the way he gives is good. That is, or in other words, its effect is useful. The word good. It is beneficial. And the way God gives may not have been the way expected or when, but it is always the most beneficial. Not only are God's gifts good, but according to this verse, they are also complete. They're good and they're complete. Let's look at that second three words. Every good gift is the first three. Should be the next four. And every perfect gift. This word gift refers to the thing given. The first one refers to what? How it's given. The second one has to do with what is given. God is benevolent, not just in how he gives, but in what he gives. Listen to this verse that Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:11. If you then, talking about a father or parents, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then it gives the illustration about a father when a child asks for such and such. You know, if a child asks for a piece of bread, will your father give you a stone? No. I remember Bob Jones when they had what they called scones. Remember the scones? I remember guys coming into the dining hall and getting one of those scones, going to the table and sitting down, and they would go like this. They would put it on the, they go, you know, knock under the table with it to show how hard it was. And they did it so well. I was like, man, are you in acting or what? How do you do that? When God, and then so they came up with the saying, if a student asks for bread, will they give him a scone? When you ask God for something, he's only going to give you what's good, as he knows to be good, not what you think is good. And this is really the answer to why sometimes God doesn't give you what you ask for, because he knows it's not good for you. You think it is, but he knows it's not. So he won't, if you're his child, if you're walking and delighting in him, he's not going to give you what's bad for you. Praise God that he didn't give me what I thought was good and that I needed, or what I wanted. What God gives is perfect. It's the same word used back in verse 4. Do you see the word perfect in verse 4? In fact, it's used twice there, perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire. When we looked at that word earlier, it's the same word as, again, when we looked at that word earlier, we saw that the prefix to that word is tele, like telescope, telegraph, a gift that has the distant future in mind. God gives with our end in mind. We expect to get what I want right now. God gives what is good for us down the road, not just today. And again, I go to Jeremiah 29:11. Do you remember that from the morning message? For I know the thoughts or the plans that I think or plan toward you, saith the Lord. Plans of peace and not of evil, or not of malice, to give you an expected end. What God gives is for our good. Think about the parent who may give to appease the child right now with no thought of future harm. Well, just to shut the child up? Okay. Ooh. And you see parents do this all the time in a place where their child is embarrassing them. They'll give them that child whatever he wants in Walmart, only to have the child do it again. Which goes to show that they shouldn't have given what the child wanted, because that did not do him any good. In fact, it messed him up. God doesn't give that way. He gives with the future in mind. Thus, God, because he is good, may not give us what we want, but what you need. But at the time when I'm looking for that one thing that I really want, we don't think of that. He knows. He knows better than what we need. Here's a good statement. Realizing God's goodness is a barrier to temptation just as much as God's judgment is. You know how I got that from? I don't know. I wrote it down some time ago. I had to have any quotes around it, so it must have been from my studying this at one time. Realizing God's goodness is just as much a barrier to temptation as is the threat of his judgment. In fact, I would say better. The next time you're tempted, meditate on God's goodness. This was the problem David had. David, when he committed his sin with Bathsheba, you know what the prophet said to him? And I've got to turn to it because I don't have this memorized, but it's in 2 Samuel. Oh, no, I was looking for my ribbon, and I found my ribbon right there where I wanted it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan the prophet went to him after he had sinned, after he had given him that parable, and here's what Nathan said. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul," gifts of God. "And I gave thee thy master's house, and I gave you your master's wives into thy bosom. I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." It has ever struck you that David was not even appreciating the things that God had already given? And that he's not even understanding that what God has given should have kept him from doing what he did, not just God's judgment? Satan never gives you anything. Think about that. Because you always end up paying dearly for whatever he gives you. So really, it's not a gift. Fun now, but deadly and full of heartache in the distant future. If your circumstances are difficult right now, if you can't have something right now, remember that God has for you and gives to you with your future in mind. It's as simple as the child's prayer. God is great. God is. He's good. So God's gifts are good, they're complete, and very quickly, God's gifts are from above. Anything good that you receive does not come from that good friend or that employer or anybody else. It ultimately comes from above. Eve was convinced by Satan that God was withholding something good from her. And that's the temptation we sometimes face. God's just not giving me what's good. I'd have it right now. I would have it right now. Nope. Sometimes God tells us to wait because he knows what's good. Lord, thank you that you always do what is good. But Lord, it is so hard at times for us to think that way because our flesh interferes. We begin thinking about how you don't love us. You don't have our good in mind. Lord, help us to remember always that you are good, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. I pray this in Jesus' name.